I'm John.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm Jason. And this is Digital Divination on the No Direction Network.
We're back for episode 113 of Digital Divination.
And I am an employee. Yeah, here it is. I'm an employee of Wizards of the Coast, and the opinions I express here are mine and not theirs.
I have nothing to add.
No!
I couldn't think of anything. I realized as soon as you started talking that I usually say something weird at the end of it.
So say we all.
Namaste.
Okay, yeah, I know all of them.
Namaste,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get started.
You tired,
how hot,
John?
How hot are you, Ron? Do you have your AC going in there?
I do have AC going in here. Do you hear it like rumbling in the background?
No.
You can fix it. If so, fix it in post. That's
okay. I'll do that. Yeah, I was just wondering because that's like the hottest place, like in your house, isn't it? If the AC,
it is. I'm in at sort of the peaked roof of my garage, and so the sun beats on both, like all day long. It just beats on one side or the other. In order to just turn this room into kind of roasting. But knowing that I'd be up here, even though it was going to be cooling off, I turned on the air conditioning up here, the window air conditioner, like 2 hours ago. So that's nice and comfortable.
Thumbs up. Yeah, I only bring it up because, Jason, you might not know this because I don't know what the weather's like where you are. High of 91 today up here.
Oh, we had a high of 99, so.
Really? Yeah,
well, I had 100.
Wow.
In my car, I saw it go up to 100.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I was outside. My car only said 91. So you guys win.
We're getting triple digits tomorrow and Tuesday, unfortunately. Wow. And as I wish it was supposed to happen over the weekend, and then it kind of moved and got longer. And because I have an air conditioner. It's not a central air. It's a window, like a portable-ish unit that goes out in the living room because that's the only place it can really do anything. It doesn't quite get back here into this room. So this room gets a little stuffy over the course of the day, and I'm not looking forward to the work day in it when it gets getting hot.
We've got some similar out here. We were supposed to have gotten a really hot weekend and then it was tail off, but I was checking with our housemate today and I'm like, oh, is this going to cool down tomorrow? He's like, I was just going to ask that same question. And he pulls out his phone. He's like, no, not till Thursday. We're going to have a...
Stinks.
I might spend more days in the office than I'm used to this week just because I know the office is air conditioned.
Yeah. We last year when we had to replace our furnace, we added a heat pump which does AC, and it keeps the downstairs quite cool. But again, I'm in an upstairs office; it's a little bit warmer, but it's bearable. But probably normally what we would do is we would go to Camino Island, where it's 10 degrees cooler all the time than up here.
But well, lucky you.
We got work to do here, so, can't be decent all the time. Having talked about the weather, what else is new?
Our ailments, if we're old enough to talk about our ailments as well as the weather.
All right, fine.
My trick knee, it gets cold.
I mean, I don't actually plan to talk about my ailments. I can't until tomorrow. I have a doctor's appointment tomorrow, and then I'll know all about my ailments. But for now, I'm fine.
Excellent. Yeah, all right. Well, maybe we should talk about something gaming related.
How about I congratulate both of you guys on your Annie nominations? Annie Awards are just announced.
Yes.
And I saw Jason Keeley's name pop up under Player Core.
That's a big one. Right?
John Godek, the Tianjia World Cup.
Yes, with the cast of thousands.
Let me tell you, I still say to people, although I qualified like I'm about to qualify now, I am a silver Emmy winner in that a Starfinder book that I worked on got a silver award for cartography, and I wasn't the cartographer, but I did sketch out not one, but two of the maps in that product. So I'm kind of a silver Emmy award winner.
That's so fair. That's fair.
And that and $4 gets you a cup of coffee or what?
Exactly.
This will be my second, I think.
This is Jason Keeley's second nomination.
Yeah. No. Well, I mean, okay. The cartography thing, I've been nominated a couple times before too for older stuff, but like this will be my second like Judges Spotlight Award winning that I've been a part of. The first was for a full game that I worked on that is way out of print now. And this one is for the Renegade stuff that I did. Some of the Renegade stuff that I did.
Oh, wow.
I was going to send a congratulations to Ryan Costello for that and then the nomination that My Little Pony game got. And I haven't done that yet, so I need to really remember to do that. But the Field Guide to Action Adventure I developed that entire book. So,
really?
Yay. Yeah.
I mean, Ryan Costello wrote basically. When you finished it, did you be like, when you finished it, were you like, this is really good. This is like top shelf gaming stuff. Or was it part of a big pipeline and it was just one thing and then the other that you were doing?
No, I mean, it was one of the like first things that I kind of worked on too over at Renegade. So, but as I was doing it, I was like, okay, yeah, this is, I noticed it was very helpful. It was very good. It was talking about the three big Essence 20 lines and how to merge them together and how to do crossovers and then also just sort of general GMing advice and also GMing advice specifically for Essence 20. It was just a lot of fun stuff.
Wow.
And I thought it was really well done and really well put together. And it was like, it was one of those like, oh, this is a light lift for me. This isn't too bad. I getting used to the system and this is all sort of well written and whatnot. So it was fun. And then it allowed me to then, when doing the art briefs, write a my favorite art brief. Well, it was a fine art brief, but what ended up being one of my favorite pieces of art that I've worked on ever is with Rita Repulsa and Cobra Commander going back to back like this.
Oh yeah,
and like smiling at the camera as if they were starring in their own sitcom. And I thought it looks great, and I love that piece.
Wow. Well, congratulations there. That's really awesome, Jason.
Yeah. It's one of those things. It's like the Ennies are cool to win the Ennies, and it is a little bit of a voting sort of popularity contest situation, which is cool. But then like the Spotlight Awards, I feel like you could call them a little more special because that's one person singling something out that they think deserves to be singled out.
This is the thing that deserves more.
Yeah. Every judge gets one award, one spotlight that they show. And it's just like something that wouldn't get nominated probably, or even come close to winning anything. So. It's nice to have that be recognized in that way.
I have to pay more attention to that. The best game is the one that I'm usually the most. That's like the best picture as far as, you know.
Yeah, right? of course. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Well, go ahead.
I was just going to talk about the Ennies a little bit. I remember
before
working for Paizo, going to a couple of them because I was... I had a 3.5 supplement that was nominated, and we'll go, and I'd be excited. And then watching Paizo kind of sweep every category and do every little thing. And then like do it 2 years of that happening and then like not going. And that is the year that we won we got a spotlight award, and we didn't know it until after the ceremony was over. So we didn't get to, I don't know if you get to like go up and say anything if you get a spotlight award. Maybe you did back then. I don't think you do, but they didn't announce them ahead of time like they do now. I think, and they were just sort of like, these are the ones. And then we end up finding that out from like two other people who walked up to, you know, on that sort of Gen Con, that Skyway Bridge over Indianapolis Avenue or whatever it is, coming up, hey, congrats. And we're like, whatever, we just got back running a demo game or whatever, we just got back out of drinking or something. It was just like, yeah, congrats to us for drinking. Like, no, you won an award. Like, what? No, what? And that was a pretty hilarious moment because that was the at that particular moment in time over Ebbets Field, right? That not Ebbets Field. What is the name of that field? The field that
Lucas,
baseball
Lucas
field
Oil, that, the Lucas Oil Stadium.
Lucas Oil Stadium. Yeah.
Ebbets is like a really famous one that's in a different state. Anyway, started to set off fireworks after the baseball game was over. And it was pretty fun. I was like, you won an award. Hooray. Fireworks. Like, oh, look at that. They're celebrating us. Wah, wah, wah. And then we had to go to the Ennies booth the next day and be like, can we have our little award? It's now in a trunk somewhere.
All right. In a frame. The move.
Yeah.
For as often as I've been to the Gen Con, I've never actually been to any awards. Because I wasn't, most of my Gen Con attendees have not been sort of as an industry person, but as just a convention attendee. And I've always seen Gen Con as a place where I can go play games that I otherwise wouldn't be able to convince my local group to play. And so I just pack my schedule with all kinds of, you know, things that, you know, that I know that I couldn't get them to try more than once or twice. So, you know, weird pulp games and, you know, people demoing their stuff, like you said. And my group never got into Call of Cthulhu. So if I get a Call of Cthulhu game in, that'd be great. And things like that. So I'm sure while the Ennies are going on, I've touched over a table, gripping dice someplace, learning some brand new system that I didn't know right before.
Yeah.
Well, now that you guys are talking about this, I'm thinking, I don't even know when this happens. Should I pay attention and show up?
It's usually Friday night, I want to say. I think it's usually a Friday night, and it is kind of open to the public, basically. But it's you know, to be frank, it's an award show. And so all of that.
Lots right? of clapping.
It's long. it's, you know, people coming up and saying, hey, we won. Thanks so much for voting for us. And that's it, really. There's nothing like super exciting about the ceremony itself, to be perfectly honest, unless they do something special this year, which they often don't. They haven't in a long time, I'd say. So I don't know. If you want to go to an award show, if you want to go to an award show at Gen Con, make it the Ennies.
All right.
No, probably go to the Diana Jones Award.
Diana Jones Awards
give you a free booze. They usually give you a free booze ticket when you go to the Diana Jones thing.
Well, that's good too. Yeah. I actually need to look at my schedule for stuff. I'm running a lot of Starfinder 2, the horror one there. And I think including Friday night, I think I'm doing Friday night on that one. But
is there going to be any, and the Starfinder 2 is all going to be demo games. It's not like there's going to be a big group interactive Starfinder second edition thing, right?
Just the first edition one.
Yeah. First edition one. Well, kind of the last big interactive was premiered at PaizoCon Online and then was at Origins. It'll be there as well. But next year, I imagine that's how Starfinder kicked off, was with a big interactive special. So I would imagine next year when they kind of roll out Starfinder second edition, that's what we'll get.
Well, that'd be pretty neat.
I've got my fingers crossed that I want to go to that Gen Con specifically.
Yeah,
for that and other reasons. Yeah. So maybe next year.
Yeah. All right. Exciting. All right.
Secret reasons or just that reason?
Secret reasons. Secret reasons.
NDA. Protected reasons?
Yeah. Protected reasons. I mean,
then we'll.
I would even say, John, there are reasons that John knows about, but there are also reasons that John doesn't know about.
Oh, that's now even, I know some of the reasons.
That's even more exciting.
I know some of the reasons.
All righty. Yeah.
All right. Oh, good.
Stay tuned for episode, what would it be? One. You know, we did 50. Ooh. It has
at
to be 13. Gen Con.
At 13.
Gosh. 160 something. 170. Stay tuned for episode 170.
No, that's too many. That's like
it'd be 126. It'd be like 126.
50, oh, no, it's not 52 years. It's 26 a year.
Yeah.
So 139.
Yeah, no, it's got to add 26. Everybody. You're right. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. If we make it that long, if we make it to 150, then we'll have exciting stuff, it sounds like.
Of course.
Okay.
All right. So that's the goal now. I had 200 as a goal. We'll pare that down to 150.
Yeah. You got to celebrate every 50, okay. I think.
And then we have to devolve into clip shows, I guess, where we have just a frame and then we cut to the three of us talking about completely other things.
Sure. All right. Well, we have some other things going on coming up next week, Jason.
Next week, I'll be running the finale episodes of Intrepid Scoundrels. I'm going to bring that little campaign to a close. I don't know what episode we're on in the podcast, but it'll be a few more after
seven.
That.
Episode 7 is one I'm editing right now. to get posted tomorrow morning. So
I can't remember how many episodes there will be in total now that I think about it. But we'll run that. I will have to write that beforehand, of course. Some thoughts, of course. Always thoughts. Ron was sort of asking about, like, you know, how do you handle a short campaign? And the answer is by the seat of my pants.
And the same way you run the whole rest of the campaign.
Indeed. Why would it be any different? There's a clear, to me, a clear narrative story arc that we can head down, and hopefully, you know, I just need to write some details down, basically write some names down, and hope for the best.
Yeah. Well, we're excited. It's been a really fun kind of short campaign. It's been a lot of fun with this system. I really like it. I want to do more with it, but sure. We will be moving on to something else afterwards, probably shortly after Gen Con, looking to start recording
the playtest. Starfinder second edition playtest adventures. We'll go through Cosmic Birthday and if we're feeling it, we might go through Empire's Devoured.
Yeah.
We'll see how we're doing, and I'm excited about that. Of course, I want to see I want to see people's characters.
That'll be character creation will be a lot of fun. Yeah. That'd be great.
What's our I'm just one of these guys at the start of a campaign, right? I want to plan sort of the expand. How high will we go with that over that course of the playtest?
That's a good question. So I think Cosmic Birthday goes first, second, third, maybe even fourth.
But I wasn't sure if it was one to five, and another one starts at fifth, right?
I think Empire's Devoured might actually start at 10th level.
Oh, that's even higher.
Ooh. Yeah, so we might have a little bit of a jump.
Okay.
But I could be wrong. Maybe it does start at five. I could look that up, but then my face would get really white from the light of the monitor. So I'm not going to do that. I could look it up on my phone. No, I could look it up. I was going to look it up because I could have access to the files. It's something.
That'll probably carry us all the way through to the release of second edition, though, I would imagine. Just a couple of those. Well, each adventure like that, is it kind of scenario length or are they shorter?
No, they're like I would call them module length.
Oh, almost. Yeah.
Although module length is a little bit of a moving target now that they're like the Pathfinder modules are now the hardcover, bigger, sort of more robust offerings. Well,
sometimes.
Yeah, module is roughly, our experience has been about 15 hours of playing time.
Okay.
So that would be, 30 weeks of postings. Add another one, that's about 60 weeks. So that's about a year. That's, just kind of roughly.
That makes sense. Yeah. We'll be done with them.
Oh, yeah. We'll be done way early. The end of the things will be coming up. Hopefully we'll try to finish up right when Gen Con next year is coming out. So everybody will be really excited about our finale and then starting the real non-playtest games.
And then we'll be facing the same question that a lot of tables will, people who really delved into the playtest rules, they'll be asking, okay, do we want to do the campaign where we keep roughly the same characters, but we switch over to updating to the actual rules from the playtest rules, or do we start out something brand new at level one? I think for the purposes of Intrepid Heroes, we'll probably start at something with brand new with level one, but I know there are a lot of people went from the Pathfinder second edition sort of playtest, even though that playtest adventure kind of jumped around a lot. It let some people get favorites and they're like, oh, well, when I actually play the game, I want to take, the clerics, right? And then make that the campaign that I run because there was a lot of options there. Or one of them was a hexploration. Let's keep doing that.
sure.
So
this is both of these adventures aren't like stress tests in those sort of fashions. Right. So they are two adventures. They're 100% adventures. I'm looking up now. Empire's Devourer does start at 10th. So it'll be a situation where we jump ahead for sure. Mm-hmm. Starting at first, probably going to third, jumping those characters ahead or making new characters, making new 10th level characters. Yeah. We'll decide that when we decide that. And then playing that through that. And then, I assume rebooting from scratch. Well, obviously we don't know what else is coming out the same around the same time as the full second edition, right?
Maybe wait. You say we, but you know.
Maybe I don't.
Okay. Many people do not know,
including right. several people in this podcast now, but not all of them, perhaps.
It has been very usual for Paizo to release, along with a new rule set, an adventure path that utilizes that very same rule set.
I'd be very surprised if there wasn't an adventure path or just a module or something along those lines, right?
Yes.
Even if it's literally just like, we took the time to, second editionify, Skyward Stars or something like that.
That would be fun. That would be awesome.
I would bet on it being something new. And I am talking completely out of left field. I do not know. If I did know, I've forgotten. Let's just say that.
I would count on you for that, Jason.
Yeah. I always, whatever.
But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if what they did was a brand new adventure path starting, here's your first monthly volume. Let's get the subscriptions because the subscription models work very well for Paizo. And then maybe announced soon, maybe not at the same time because it's just a ton of work putting new rules together, something like a compilation of something else updated to the Starfinder Second Edition.
Yeah, that sounds like
something that's already compiled, like Dead Suns or Scoured Stars might be an easy lift to convert, but they might, for that very reason, might pick something else to update.
Who knows?
I really love the first book of Dead Suns. I think that would be a lot of fun to play that. A second edition, just a nice callback to where we all started and everything. But this brings up another very important question then. It sounds to me, Ron, you'll have to correct me on this, that Jason has just volunteered to run the actual second edition campaigns for us as well.
I mean, that is what it sounded like to me.
I guess it did sound like that a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, I love it. This is awesome. We'll Jason. We'll have to get you some better endorsement deals because obviously I didn't realize this would be long term. I'll get some bigger sponsors for you.
Okay, good. I need something that I can put on my jumpsuit on the shoulders, patches, and whatever. Give me some Pennzoil or STP.
Yes.
Those are both oils. I don't know why I thought of two oils.
See, and I was thinking like epaulettes, like the big, the big loops of gold braid and stuff on your shoulder.
Can I get two epaulettes? Can I get an admiral's jacket?
Oh.
A Starfleet admiral's jacket.
Oh, wow.
Can I get a Starfleet admiral's skort? Okay. That's what they're called. They're called skorts.
They're called what?
Skorts. The formal Starfleet uniforms are called skorts.
Wow. Why? Why? I don't understand.
It's short. I don't know. It's got the word skirt in it, I think, and something else. I can't remember why it's called skorts, but they're called skorts.
Okay. Yeah, when I was in the service, we had kind of similar, the similar kind of outfit that would button up and go over. Mm-hmm. Those were just kind of like dress uniform or dress blues or things like that. We would never call them skorts.
They wouldn't. That's the real military. Starfleet has skorts. They're not called skorts. Sorry, everybody. I know you're yelling at me. They're called scants because they are scants. They're called because it's skirts and it's a skirt and a pants. It's almost like a skirt. It's a long jacket.
The long jacket thing. Yeah.
And then pants. They're called scants. Why did I think they were called skorts?
I don't know.
Think of jorts. I can't wait for jorts. Starfleet to put out
their shorts and skirts. Might be a skort. Yeah. I don't.
A skort. There is skort. There is such a thing as a skort.
Yes. That's why I was getting confused.
The Starfleet one is called scants, which is not a thing that exists in the real world.
Yes. Good. Excellent. Okay. Fine. Well,
I just finished playing a Star Trek campaign, and we did a whole Scants episode, and I don't know why I forgot about it.
Oh, all right. I now I know your wish list, so we'll.
Yes, get me a Scant.
Okay.
Look askance at a.
Excellent. Excellent.
A Scant.
Yeah.
Starfinder is in a good position. more so, I would say, than a lot of other sort of changeovers. I would say, well, 3.5 to first edition Pathfinder is sort of in the same position, right? Like, because the rules are set. Like you look at Fall of Plaguestone or Age of Ashes or Dead Sons to a certain extent too. They're a bit bumpy because they're being written the same time as the rules are being written.
Right.
I would say, I guess, you know what, the beginning of the first edition Starfinder was not as bumpy because it's based off of Pathfinder, right? There was not, we knew what the adventures looked like and how to do that, right? And Starfinder second edition is sort of a similar position and even better so, because I think there's all this, we know things, you know, how the rules work and we know how to put adventures together. It's just a matter of like, getting the right sort of theme or story or whatever and presenting.
Right. And as an author who's worked on the early edition of both of those, the thing that's really key is that the encounter building guidelines didn't change between Pathfinder first edition and Starfinder. And then the same, I'm sure, is true between Pathfinder second edition and Starfinder second edition, because how many of what kinds of foe, what power level of foes you can go up against is something that you really have to get right in these games. And so having that very well balanced, especially in a game like Pathfinder second edition and Starfinder second edition, will be where the math is really tight, and so it's sort of critical to get that right. It's as you say, they're working from a known quantity of how to put those together, and I think that's going to be a real benefit, because the less as a writer you have to worry about, oh, is this encounter going to be too hard, too easy, whatever, the more you can really put the pedal down about making the encounters really cool and have kind of neat stuff that goes with it and sort of embellish NPCs and things like that.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, this reminds me of this adventure, the very first Starfinder adventure ever written. And I was running it at Penny Arcade Expo. We were doing a bunch of demos. And man, there were certain parts of that were so hard. Oh, I could not believe it. And I see why that author had such a challenge, because obviously the rule set wasn't out yet before this adventure was written. You know what I'm talking about, Ron?
Oh, were you into the unknown? What you were doing? Yes. Into the Unknown by Ron Lundeen,
yes.
Which I should point out won no Annies. The part of it that, not the fights part of it, but the starship combat part of that was sort of intentionally dull. I don't know if I mentioned that, but I was, you know,
long,
as these ships
took a long time.
because this is a whole new system that needs to be learned, and people are going to be picking it up and trying to learn it as they go. So yes, we can throw in all sorts of solar winds and, you know, asteroids to hide behind and, you know, the gravity wells and things, but let's not in this very first one.
Yeah. And that was before they recognized they had to change the Starship DCs as well. So that was that was one of the things. No, actually, what I remember very distinctly, there was a Neoxian ship, and there had all this negative necrotic radiation going through this thing. And, you know, these super low-level characters, it was just like killing them left and right.
The environment.
Yeah, the environmental stuff. Nobody, you know, it's the first time anybody's doing it. They're not expecting that. Oh, wait a second. This is crazy. So, yeah, there are a lot of moving parts. A lot of moving parts early on. So, but yeah, I ran that about 7 times. So it's demo.
That's fewer than the number of times you're going to be running the playtest one at Gen Con, right? Aren't you running that a bunch of times too?
I'm running that. I'm running that 12. Yeah. Okay. Right now. That's the schedule. Well, it's 2 hours. Each of them is 2 hours. I have 6 slots.
Right. Well, yeah.
Yeah. So 12 times. Everything's front loaded Thursday, Friday, then kind of Saturday, Sunday. I just have like one game each. Those ones. So, you know, because by then I'm going to be beat and I won't be able to do anything. So
you're going to be beat by Friday morning, Friday afternoon.
I'll try. But yeah, I'll be
hoarse. I mean, it depends on who you are, right? I get the more I run, the more excited I get. I end up really. Yeah. Charged after a not exhausted, but like, you know, really just sort of ready to go and excited at the end of a long convention.
So what's nice about running this thing 12 times, okay, is that the first four times will be figuring out how the players react and what's going to, and after that, right, I'm going to know everything cold and going to know everything they do perfectly, you know, what to expect. I can make it so much more fun then, because it's like, I'm not trying to, oh, am I doing this right? You know, how does this work? Which is oftentimes the first, if you just run something one time, you can prep it all you want, but you don't know how players are going to react. You don't know all the wacky things that can happen. You don't know what would be cool to adjust. But, you know, after running it three or four times, I did this one other time at Gen Con where I had one thing ran seven times. And it's like the first couple of times was like, oh yeah, just figuring it out. But after that, it was just fun because I was able to ad lib a lot of cool stuff to make it fun for the players and me. And so I actually look forward to running this thing multiple times. Anyway.
I was going to say, I find the problem comes for me when you, you know, run a bunch of games in a row is when you have to stop. And then, you know,
stop.
Then it all catches up to you. Right. Oh. And then start up again the next day. Is that period of time in between is what really hits you like a truck.
Yeah. You don't sleep.
You sleep, but the problem, you know, it's kind of hard. Yeah, you're up, you know, maybe you're just getting excited because you're excited about it. You run again a bunch of times. Maybe you have a little trouble sleeping. But just sort of the continued exertion of the day just falls over on you like a slab.
Yeah, I hear you. And so I'm really excited because for years, I was really, really sick and really had low energy until I got my transplant. And that includes the last time I was at Gen Con. So that was prior to I had a transplant. I have so much more energy now than I've ever had, even though I'm so like good. Borderline average in terms of kidney function. You know, like I'm like the kind of baseline, like really, really just barely in the normal range. It is 10 times better than where I was. So yeah, it may be rough, but I had to really slog through it, really difficult level before, so this will be easy, you know, by comparison.
Fair enough. Yeah, you've been training with the weights on all this time, and now you get to take them off and
sprinting. Oh, really go 12 times.
So
I'm excited, but I also scheduled it so like I have some evenings and free so I can hang out and do other games and see people and stuff. So
that's just my schedule. I'm going to be free in the evenings. It turns out I've got a good friend from high school, you know, one of the gaming group friends I've had all along, whose wife got tired of him talking about how he'd go to Gen Con someday. And she said, this is the year, and is basically kicking him out of the house. Like, you know, he's got his airplane tickets and everything. So he's going to Gen Con. I won't be able to spend a ton of time with him because I've got, you know, I'm going, you know, for work, and work's, you know, expecting obligations for me during the days. But in the evenings, I'll be free. And so I'll be able to pester him at games or John pester you at games.
Yeah. Well, we could go find new games together.
We could.
To bring
we
could. Back.
Things we've otherwise never played. Each game more new and exciting than the last.
Yes. Yeah. And then Jason, next year we can all share.
Sure.
Yeah.
We'll all go together. Okay. If you find any new cool games, you let me know.
Okay.
Well, and we'll talk about them on this show.
That sounds great.
Oh, that could be. And that would not be the next show, because the next show will be more Gen Con anticipation, right?
Yeah, that'll be really
good. So, yeah.
And then the one after that, Gen Con.
Yeah. So soon.
I know, because next one is 2 weeks from now. We're recording on the 7th. That'll be the 21st. Yeah, then the one after that is going to be well into August. So
it's going to be the weekend of Gen Con. We'll have to figure out when we're recording.
Oh, wait, Sunday. The Sunday
that
of Gen
is the
Con?
Weekend of Gen Con, yeah.
Oh,
that could be a little bit of a challenge then.
No. Ronan, you and I are going to do a live show, man.
All right, okay.
We might be busy, but see,
I'll record a show by myself. It's
do fine. That.
Yeah.
Well, so Gen Con's done on Monday. We could actually record it on Tuesday or Wednesday when we're all back.
Back for me is in visiting family in Salt Lake City. I'm not coming back here to
ever.
Washington.
Yeah.
Ever?
Not ever.
Yeah. I'm going to spend
a week in Utah, but I can also just, you know, dial up from Utah. I won't have all the fancy everything. I'll be grainy footage. It'll seem like I'm reporting from the scene.
Hold, everybody just hold their phone and we'll just record.
Yeah, I'll be in studio.
Yes,
that's in right. Studio. Otherwise,
we'll figure it out.
Shaky cam field reporting.
But we should do something. Yeah, we should do something. Yeah. Maybe we don't have video for that. I don't know. But we'll figure something out. All right.
Just a clip show.
Yeah. Well, so the thing is, so if Jason were going too, then it would be a lot of fun because we could do something really different. Like everybody shoot some videos of something you're doing and just make a big collage that we kind of run. And then we have a voiceover where we're talking about it as it's playing.
I'll record something here.
And you could do something. Just go around your room there and show it. No.
Yeah. Look at this book.
Yeah.
I bought this a year ago. I haven't opened it yet.
And to the extent, I mean, hearing how the Starfinder playtest is received and, you know, what Paizo has to say and sell there. I mean, that's going to be, you know, that's going to be right down the line of the stuff that that we do on the show. That'll be great to be able to talk about.
I know that I'm excited. Right. Well, gentlemen, as always, this has been a real pleasure having a chance to chat with both of you.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I'm John.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm Jason. And this has been Digital Divination.